Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the instant match reaction. It was muted very quickly there by Chris Page. Well done. It was Newcastle 0, Liverpool 0. It was a big disappointment again. And unfortunately, you know, I think over the course of a season, you're allowed to not win every game of football, but when you're in the midst of it and you draw disappointing draws back to back, it doesn't half feel like it gets on top of you. It feels like part of a wider problem and a wider malaise and all that. And look, it might yet prove to be, but what it is, because it's another disconnected from the West Brom game, but connected to a number of our away performances. It's another game where we've just won a game away from home.
Yeah, I think it's funny, isn't it? Because I think probably the problems over the draws this season, it'd be easy to say it's Van Dijk, but it's not the defence that's the issue at the moment, is it? It's the strikers not finishing the opportunities that are being created for them, and that was certainly the case tonight, wasn't it? You know, for all the talk about Nat Phillips and Reece Williams and who'd start, it wasn't them. It wasn't Nat Phillips' fault that we didn't win the game tonight. It was the fact that Mo has two clear-cut opportunities. The best one, he doesn't get it on target.
Yeah.
One's a great save from Darlow. Yeah. It was the fact that Roberto Firmino has three headers saved. It was the fact that Sadio Mane is not able to hit the target and is pulled down by his leg at one point by the goalkeeper when going for it. The chances that we created first half for me, they all broke down before they became real clear-cut chances by maybe poor play from Sadio Mane or whatever. But second half, we had enough opportunities to put the game to bed. And, you know, I think had the Thiago substitution maybe come a little bit earlier when Wijnaldum was made, but I also said on the player ratings, we probably could have played another 30 minutes in the form Darlow was in there, we might not have scored.
Yeah, it is a funny one, isn't it? Because, and I said this earlier, is that there's factors that we're not privy to, so inevitably for us, if Thiago's on the bench, start him. I don't think footy works like that, and I think we're all understanding enough, but there becomes degrees of nuance to which whether we want to be accepting of this or not. My overriding feeling, because we are much better with Thiago in the team, and I don't want to put all this pressure on, like, one guy's going to fix all our problems, because we're not that team anymore. But I do think we were, you know, a player like him, and it's not just a player like him, by the way, it's also a player like Naby Keita and a player like Oxlade-Chamberlain to some extent, who goes before all of them, are designed for games where you're looking to break down opposition players. You need a little bit more spark in the midfield, and we've been lacking that for a lot of those games. Jürgen Klopp would have... there's no way Jürgen Klopp wants to only play Thiago for 15 minutes in that match. He definitely wants to play him for more. And
sign him to play 15-minute cameos for Liverpool, did he?
And given the choice there, there's no way that he would have willingly said, given, because it's obvious how good he is. Like, we talk about match sharpness and players being a little off it, and we've seen Minamino
match sharp,
mate. We've seen it, like, you know, when we saw it with, like, Minamino's taking a while to get up to speed. He's had some bad games, he's had some decent games for us. Kurt Jones took a while to get into the season. Trent still probably not really found his form, all told, this season long. But the players who've had stuttering starts have taken a while to get up to speed. Like Oxlade-Chamberlain, two little cameo appearances, nothing really to show from him. And then Thiago strolls onto the pitch and he's our best player and just looks head and shoulders the best player on the pitch. I'm hoping that, you know, what we look back on is in a week's time too. When he is the star of the show against Manchester United, you get to look back on his cameo here and go, well, this is what started it, rather than going, isn't it disappointing that we didn't break Newcastle down? You're able to take a small positive from it, but it smacked of a game that was crying out for just a little bit more creativity and a little bit more control in the midfield.
It did, certainly. As I say, Thiago changed the game for us, like, absolutely. And he changed the angle of attack. And I think that was probably the best thing that he did. He changed us from this side-to-side football side to all of a sudden have a bit of cut and thrust to our attacks and our movements. And he seems to find space really easily. He seems to want the ball, whether there's a player near him or not. He moves the ball very quickly. He's got a picture in his head. You can see that. But again, I come back to it. You know, yeah, we needed more creativity from the midfield. We needed our strikers to finish the opportunities today. That's what the real crux of the issue was today, yeah. Not the creativity from the midfield.
It was a point you were making before. When you look at the disappointing draws and you can put them all together in this, and even like go back to like the Villa game, which is a disappointing defeat. This was, we created, like Fulham being the prime example of this, we were just dreadful against Fulham and we were very lucky to come away with a point in that regard. West Brom, we battered them in the first half. They offered nothing. They gave us a little bit more in the second half and we ran out of ideas and we were annoyed to drop 2 points in that regard. We threw that one away. And this is another one where
it'll be bundled in as just another draw, but the performance was so much better today.
Yeah, it was, particularly with Fulham. The problem is you've got Crystal Palace is this massive outlier now. And I think tactically, I think we've approached this game quite similar to the Crystal Palace game. The difference is we don't take our chances, and we'll never know what happens when you take your chance, because we take the early chance against Crystal Palace and then we're crap for like half an hour, and then we score the second, and then 10 minutes later, or within 10 minutes later, we score the third and the game's done. And then we come out and we score the fourth because Palace are all, you know, a bit all over the place by that point. And then we just rack up the goals. If you don't get that, if you don't take your chance, if you don't break through, and time again, there's the ball, the great ball from Mane to Firmino. He's in towards on goal. He jumps and the ball comes off his foot the other way and he has to turn. And then he's playing a blind ball to Robertson, who's steaming in, and it's right footed and the touch is poor. There's Bobby Firmino working his way free at the back post, heads wide. There's Salah, forced a great save from Dallas, so no criticism for Salah for that. But you mentioned it before, Salah is played through. He opens the ball onto his left foot, just hit the target. You know, if you force a save, you force a save.
He's normally really good at that, Salah, as well. He's normally just hits the target.
But he fluffs it. And here's the problem, because I've seen a bit of criticism for Salah, and it's fair, because when a footballer has a bad game, you're allowed to say, you had a bad game today, mate, or you were shit today. Say that. He was shit today, folks, Salah, he was. But the problem is, and I don't think, and it's mad about Salah, because I just think there's just some people who just have never taken someone. Unfortunately, it's a very small minority of people for whatever reason. Because I just don't think because I said this the other week, he's such an untidy footballer. He finishes untidily. He just does. You never have supreme confidence that Mo Salah's going to strive to do in slot. But yet, he tops our goal scoring charts every single season. And he's topping the Premier League goal scoring charts this season. So the problem is, there comes a point where you can demand more of Salah, but also, can you? Because he clearly can, because he should just finish that. But he's also top goal scorer. It's so hard, because if he's not scoring, you kind of do have to shrug it off. The problem is that it's very, when he doesn't score, what normally happens, Mane scores or Firmino scores. But if them two don't score.
Yeah, I think for me, probably the reason that Salah's maybe thought of in some small minorities like that, he doesn't have the all-round game of a Firmino and a Mane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can be so integral to everything we do for 90 minutes and not score, and everyone understands it. Salah's job isn't to be that guy. Salah's job is to pop up and score your goal.
So certainly today, because he's been brilliant this season doing all the other bits and pieces.
The game passed him by today, and it would have been so Mo Salah to walk away with the game passing by in 2 goals, like he probably should have had. The normal Mo Salah performance from last season, if you will. And that's not what he's given us today. He's given us a game where it passed him by for the most part, and his 2 opportunities also passed him by, or he passed them by this time.
Yeah, no, it was just a mad performance from Mo. And as I say, you have this, he's world-class, and world-class players, when they have off days, you don't, when shit players play well, you go, wow, isn't that great? But then when they go back to the mean, you go, oh, and then you can talk about, oh, get rid of them or whatever. When world-class players have off days, you'd have to shrug it off, because more often than not, he has brilliant days and he scores lots and lots of goals for us. It goes back to the thing, it's a mad point, because we talk about the defence, but the away thing, and about finding ways to win. and winning by hook or by crook and stuff. And it's all like it all feeds into. So, like, as much as Nat Phillips isn't to blame because we didn't concede a goal, kept a clean sheet, it's on the guys to finish the dinner at the other end. It's all the intangibles that you lose when you've just not got. It's not Nat Phillips' fault. It's actually not having Virgil van Dijk in so many times. It's a game where Virgil just crops up with a header from a corner and you win 1-0 and you go title winning form. This game was on the cusp of being that. Where, I mean, look, we did it. Well, Divock Origi comes on, doesn't he? Scores late 2 seasons ago. And we think that's like, you know, and then it's the game before Vincent Kompany smacks one in against Leicester. But that's like, that's a moment that's snatched. We just didn't have that today.
And we haven't had that all season, really, have we? Not in the same way as last season. And, you know, there's so many factors. I think fans is probably one of them. I think we perform better in front of fans, certainly. You know, there's a lot of sides that could say that. I think our away form has been a bit iffy this season. Obviously, we're ninth in the form table away from home now. And, you know, BT team. For Amazon did a stat about, you know, Liverpool's results. And, you know, we beat Sheffield United. These are the bottom six sides. Mm-hmm. We draw against Brighton. We draw against Fulham. We draw against West Brom. We draw against Newcastle. That's not good enough for a side who wants to go and win the Premier League. And, you know, I think that's probably where a lot of people's fears come from. I probably don't share all of these fears, but I'm disappointed with the results regardless. And I think Liverpool should have won more of those games than they've drawn. But, you know, when that's what Liverpool were like a few years ago, not getting results against these sides. And that's where I think a lot of people's fears come from. But
it's recognisable.
Yeah, of course.
Because we look at it and go, I've seen this happen before. But the context in which it happened was completely different. You were saying this the other week about our understanding of football, our knowledge that we've accumulated from years of watching it, just doesn't quite fit with what we're looking at as in front. For a start, we've never really been in this situation where we're going, oh my God, this is... Drawing two games back-to-back always normally feels a bit catastrophic because we've done this before. Last two seasons we've done it, and we've normally done it in the Champions League. And you can tell it because I've done the books the last 2 years, and there's always a spell where everyone feels like we've fucked it. And it's normally in the group stage of the Champions League, but we're actually managing to win at home. Which actually what's happening now, we're dropping points in the Premier League, and we're going... It's like if you live in a house where your mum bollocks you for fucking dropping stuff on the floor, and you no one's in the house, and you drop something on the floor, and you go, and waiting for a bollocking, and it doesn't arrive. And that's kind of what this season's like. We're waiting for City to come fucking tearing up and fucking run us down, and it might yet happen, but
I just don't think you can lose your head at this point of the season. There's too many games. It's been too weird. And we sound like a broken record. And I think we're right, though. It's all right being a broken record if you're right or if you truly believe in what you're saying. And look,
I've
right
sat
now,
here for over 10 years and made excuses for poor results for terrible Liverpool teams and gone, well, you know, Roy Hodgson games trying to make the best of it and go, oh, okay, well, look, we look quite good and this player look quite good and blah, 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 blah. Because I always will always do that, just natural glass half full people, generally speaking.
When it comes to the footy.
Well, when it comes to the footy.
But look, Liverpool are top of the table by 3 points.
Yeah.
And if Man United win their game in hand, I'd imagine we'd still be top of the table on goal difference. Now, there was a point 5 weeks ago where we weren't top of the table by 3 points and we were joint top and our goal difference wasn't good enough to be top of the table. So whatever you think over the last few weeks and stuff, Liverpool are now top of the table. We've got players coming back in Thiago, in Oxlade-Chamberlain, in James Milner, and Jota's a few weeks away and all this type of stuff. So there's still reasons to be positive. Yeah, I think Liverpool hopefully sign a centre-back and that puts some of our other fears at ease for a few more weeks and stuff like that. And Liverpool are going to win this league. Don't worry about it. Liverpool are going to win this league because we're the best side, isn't it? We're the best squad.
We'll just see, won't we? Again, it's one of them. I feel the same, but there's no guarantees on it, is there? You know, because there's a lot of footy to be played, and I think to be honest, it's a case of switching off to it as best as possible because it's going to be up and down. Liverpool are not going to win every game between now and the end of the season, and people are talking about the draws, and they're right. If we'd won those last two games, we would be fucking miles away here. We would be so clear at the top of the league, it'd be almost ridiculous given everything we've gone through. But really, we've actually overperformed given, I think, all the things we've gone through. And we're just getting to a point of the season now where we're finally getting reinforcements, but they're not ready yet. Thiago is just coming back, and it's not about heaping all this pressure on, but it was so noticeable how much better we were with him in the side. It's so when we're able to rotate a bit more, it's just Curtis Jones, for a 19-year-old lad, has just played a bit too much football for his first proper season. You know, we think about this again, like, you know, Trent was up and down for years until the point that he became class, and even see now he's a young lad, he's struggled with fitness and form already this season.
And also, I think playing alongside either Reece or Nats probably is his role slightly changed. He's got to be a bit more defensive minded,
without a doubt. And also, again, Henderson's played a lot of footy. Genie's played a lot of footy. We had to get Milner back. I thought Milner had a good game in midfield. I think that's kind of been forgotten about. You know, he came in and didn't look like he'd been out for a spell. Proves how important he can be. We're going to need all of this kind of stuff going. The point is, for the first time in ages, we've been able to rotate the midfield, and that we will see the benefit of that in the next few weeks. The aim now is, you've got Southampton, we've got a bit of a break now till Southampton, which is nice. We've got no League Cup football to play in between then as well, which is also nice. Obviously, the FA Cup game that will come, and then we've got Man United on the horizon. It feels very similar to the build-up to the Tottenham game, this was. And if you recall, this is the problem, is that everyone's looking around going, It's like reading Mr. Jelly. It's like everyone's looking around and getting scared, like jumping at shadows. Everyone's like, Tottenham Hotspur. Oh my God, Tottenham Hotspur. What it like? And we turned up against Tottenham Hotspur and we beat them and we went top of the league.
Yeah.
We've got Man United on the horizon. You know, there's a good chance that they beat Villa in their next game. There's a good chance we struggle against Southampton because of the form we've been in. That's a possibility, and it means that it is actually a straight shootout for top of the league at that point. Whereas, I mean, again, Even if we were to drop points against Southampton and United beat Villa, they still got that much vaunted game in hand, but it wouldn't be enough to. They're not going to be running clear at any point.
We've had 16 games in the league so far, and hopefully there's 22 where we've got Thiago available.
Yeah.
Because we'll be better than the 16 that we've played so far.
And again, even for him, even if he doesn't play all 22, if he's just able to come in and help out, we don't. It's these games are the games I think we definitely need him for at this point. It's the game low block sides when you need someone to pick apart, and the evidence that we've seen, the limited evidence of Thiago, that he's the best midfielder on the planet and the best footballer ever
by a mile. By a fucking mile, mate. So and he's not even match fit.
Fingers crossed on all of that. But no, I feel all right. I feel deflated. I feel a bit disappointed because I think I said this last week, I said this for a week. The world's shit and Liverpool have been our fucking hope, our shiner. We got to see us win the league in the worst fucking possible situation our lives could be in around all that. It's a lot of pressure to put on 11 fellas. We're back to that. We used to have that. We've always felt that. My moods have always been linked to how good Liverpool are. I'm always in a worse mood when Liverpool don't win. But the time was Liverpool never used to win very much. And now we're the fucking best team in the country. We're the best, one of the best teams on the planet. So, you know, yeah, kind of have to be able to shrug it off a little bit when it doesn't go well and trust that it will come out on top, because I would suggest that if we're still in this position where we are now, despite all the hardships that we've gone through in terms of fitness and injuries and all that, when Man United are having the most stellar season that they've had in fucking years and we're still ahead of them in the league, it's probably going to be all right, isn't it?
I
think so too. Right, yes, thank you so much for watching and for listening to this. Oh, actually, sorry, I have one super chat actually before we go from John McGrath. Says, think we need a formation switch to make the movement more fluid between Mane and Salah like they were a season or two ago, maybe 4-2-3-1. With Thiago in, 4-2-3-1?
I don't know. I'm not sure we do. I think the training time has a big impact in this season, doesn't it? I think, you know, I think the 4-2-3-1 probably suits Thiago more, but does it suit the other 10 players that he's playing with more? Probably not.
Mm.
So let the world-class lad work it out rather than ask the other 10 lads to change.
Yeah,
he'll find a place and he'll slot in and he'll be absolutely fine. Like, he's not going to be asked to be a box-to-box midfielder. I think I can see that now. He's going to sit there and go, you're attacking this side, you get on your fucking bike. Because that's what he said to Robbo and Trent tonight. He came on and went, get on your fucking bike, lad. And why aren't you on your bike early enough?
Runs. Everyone make runs. and I'll find one of your quarterbacks, done he? You know what I mean? It's like
that one where he dinked it over to Mo Salah. Mo Salah was looking around going, fucking hell, I'm all right. I'll fucking get on my bike, lad. Sound.
Yeah, more of that, please, Jürgen. More of that, please, Thiago. Yeah, listen, thanks very much. Drop a like if you're on YouTube. Yeah, leave a 5-star review if you're listening on podcasting apps. And if you want more from us, the Final Word Show tomorrow, 60 minutes, where we'll talk a lot more about the wonder that is Thiago Alcantara and a few bits and pieces more from that match as well. So if you need more uplifting Liverpool-related content, then go to theredmentv.com and sign up, and we shall see you over there. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.